If my brain isn't functioning right, I go to a brain doctor. There's no shame in that. Why is it that any other organ in your body cannot work and there's no stigma attached to it? If my pancreas stops working, if I have diabetes, there's no shame, there's no stigma on that. But if my brain stops working, why am I supposed to keep quiet and not talk about it and be ashamed of it? That's just wrong.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this series, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then stay with us, because in a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. Stay with us to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How We're Getting Through.
On the day that Matthew died, we were suspecting, because we hadn't heard from him all day, he hadn't texted all day, that our greatest fear had probably happened. The day I prayed would never happen, the day I feared might, that he would take his life. We went over to his house, and we couldn't get into his house because we didn't have a key to his house. His car was there, and he wasn't answering the door, and we were worried that our deepest, greatest fear had happened. And as we stood there in the driveway waiting for police to come to break in and to see what inevitably was true, Kay and I stood there in the driveway, hugging each other, sobbing. Our hearts were breaking into a million pieces. And as we stood there trembling and sobbing out loud, Kay reached up and grabbed her necklace, which had two words on it, and she showed it to me. It was the words of a book that she wrote, the title of a book she wrote a year ago, Choose Joy. And I thought, are you kidding me? How in the world do you choose joy in the deepest grief? How do you choose joy in the worst pain? How do you choose joy when your greatest fear is being realized? Well, I'll let Kay tell you that. Would you welcome her?
Thank you. Thank you, Saddleback. I've missed you. As Rick said, I was wearing a necklace that says, Choose Joy, after I wrote that several years ago, and I wrote the book because I've struggled with low levels of depression my whole life. And yet here's a verse like Romans 5:3-5 on your outline that says, we can have joy even in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us, because God has poured His love to fill our hearts. I began to look for some jewelry that I could wear on a daily basis to remind me that I could choose joy, that there could be joy even in troubles. The day that Matthew passed away, as Rick said, I in particular had a terrible sense of foreboding, and I had very good reasons to believe that that might be that he had taken his life. But we had to wait hours before it could be confirmed. And so when I got up that morning, I deliberately went to my jewelry box, and with my hands shaking and my heart pounding and my stomach heaving, I picked this necklace out of the jewelry box. I wasn't really thinking very clearly, but I knew that by putting it on, in some way, I was fighting back against the nightmare that I was pretty sure that was going to unfold that day. And as Rick said, as we stood at Matthew's house together waiting for the police to confirm this terrible news. I don't know why, but in a moment I looked down and saw it, and then I raised it to him. In a very tiny, feeble attempt to affirm what I knew to be the truth, even as he said our hearts were shattering. How could I do that? How could I even wear the necklace that day? How could I lift it to him in a gesture of belief in God, a belief that joy could be chosen even in our darkest moments? How could I do that? And how could he, through his tears, receive it and not push me away and not tell me I was crazy and to stop it and to just stop doing that? It's because of what we know. Because we know that joy is still present. We know it because God is good. And because we have spent the last 50 years of our lives putting our spiritual roots down deep into the rich soil of God's grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, and his goodness. And because of that, because of those roots that have gone deep into the soil of who God is, getting to know him, when troubles have come our way, we have been able to produce endurance. It has been produced, and hopefully character, and from that character, hope and joy. So don't be afraid to have hope again. Don't be afraid to trust again. God is good. God is not finished writing the story. Please believe with all that you have that what has been broken can be restored. It is not the end of our story. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. And because of that, there is hope.
Great job, Ed. You know, one of the most suspenseful TV shows that was ever on was 24. Everybody remember that? I mean, Jack Bauer could solve three world problems in every single episode. I wanted to be Jack Bauer. But I have to admit that I never even watched the show until it went off the air and went into DVD, because I hate watching commercials. But then I bought the entire, I think it's like six or seven more, 7 years of series, or 5 years, whatever it was. And I remember Kay and I were watching the first year of 24, and we're sitting on the couch, and Jack is getting into one of his predictable, really bad messes, like 5 seconds to save the whole world. And I started to get a little tense, and I started to think, is Jack going to make it? I mean, is this it? I mean, is this it, the end for our hero? Is Jack going to make it? And a little voice said in my ear, relax, Rick. There's 5 more seasons. Your tension goes down when you know the end of the story. You're reading a mystery novel and you're scared to death. But if you know the end, you know it's going to work out. This is why believers grieve so very, very differently than the rest of the world. We grieve with hope because we know the end of the story.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then let us send you the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. This full-color, vegan leather-covered guided experience is perfect to put a boost in your quiet time. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. Get it right now by calling 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
And so when we grieve for ourselves, but we grieve with hope because we know the end of the story. Now let me tell you, I know the difference that makes. Because as a pastor, I've done the funeral of people who didn't have any hope. And I have looked into the faces and into the eyes of people who don't have a relationship with Christ, who don't have the hope of heaven, who don't know what we know, what we've learned. And the fear and the panic and the hopelessness in the eyes of people who don't have that hope is crushing. It's just crushing. I have seen it in their faces, and it is not something you want. but we grieve with hope. Now, to live with hope in a life of pain, and by the way, I'm sorry to say this to you, you're going to have pain the rest of your life. But in that pain, you can have hope. How? You're going to have to get a bigger perspective. You're going to have a longer view. You're going to have to refocus your attention. You're going to have to stop thinking about just here and now, and you're going to have to start living in light of eternity. This is not all there is. And if you just look at today and what's happening right now, you're going to be hopeless. But if you can see in light of eternity, you realize that this life is preparation for the next. You get at the most 100 years on this planet, but you get trillions and trillions of years in eternity. This is simply the get ready stage for the real show. Here's what the Bible says. There on your outline, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we don't focus on the troubles we see right now. Instead, we look forward to what we don't see yet. For the troubles we see now are temporary. Thank God, they're only temporary. I mean, even if I had a problem my entire life, it's only temporary, because it's not going to last an eternity. For the problems, the troubles we see now are only temporary, but the joys to come will last forever. The biggest epidemic in our society, in our world today, is hopelessness. It's an epidemic proportion, poor persons. It's the biggest problem on the planet. The biggest problem on the planet is not poverty. We're trying to do something about that with the peace plan. The biggest problem on the planet is not disease. We're trying to do something about that with the peace plan. The biggest problem on the planet is not illiteracy or ignorance and lack of education. We're trying to do something about that. The biggest problem on our planet is hopelessness. People are living and dying without any hope. And we are in a battle for hopelessness, against hopelessness. That's why Purpose-Driven Life is still a big bestseller around the world. Why it's the most translated book in the world, except for the Bible. Because people are hungry for hope. We are in a battle against hopelessness. Now, when something happens and you have a major loss in your life, you tend to think, this is the end of the world. No, it's not the end of the world. It's an end of the moment. And in your life, you're going to have many ends of the moment. It's not the end of the world. I don't know what you're going through, and I don't care how, well, I do care, but I don't know how important, it doesn't matter how deep you think your problem is right now, the one you're going through right now, it isn't the end of the world. Why? Because when the real end of the world comes, Jesus shows up. Then you know it's the end of the world. The one day, Jesus is going to settle the score, even the odds, pay off the debts, and heal the hurts. And the Bible says what it's going to be like in heaven when it's all over here on earth. The last chapter in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 4, says this. Then God, this is in the future, then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is in heaven. Wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. No more death. And there will be no more mourning. And there will be no more crying. And there will be no more pain. For the old order of things will pass away. I'm looking forward to that day. But we're not there yet. And what do we do now in this little parenthesis between the sweet by and by and the nasty now and now? Where everything is broken and the life doesn't make sense and it's an incredible battle. What do we do during this middle time? We live in peace, even when life doesn't make sense. Because we know that God is with us and God loves us and he'll never stop loving us and he'll never forget us. And we live with joy. Even when everything on this planet is broken, because we know that God is good, and God has a good plan, and God has a plan that is greater than the problem you're going through. His purpose is greater than your problem. And we live with hope. Why? We live with hope even when we know life's a battle and everything's hard and there's a lot of conflict. But we live with hope because we know there's more to the story than just here and now. Now, in closing, I want to talk to four different groups. Just say a word to each of you. Everybody here is in one of those four groups. Those of you who are watching online at our different campuses here in Southern California or overseas in Saddleback, Manila, and Buenos Aires, Saddleback, Buenos Aires, and Saddleback, Berlin, and Saddleback, Hong Kong, all the different places. But wherever you are, one of you, you're in one of these four groups. First, to those of you who haven't yet stepped across the line spiritually, you know about God, but you don't know him personally. You've heard about Jesus, but you don't know him personally. You don't have a friendship with him. Hang in there and be with us. Come back in the succeeding weeks, and I'll talk to you more about how to establish that relationship. You can begin tonight by just praying the prayer we're going to pray together in a minute. You say, well, Jesus wouldn't want me. Oh, really? I recently wrote down who Jesus came for. Jesus came for the chewed up and the pushed around, the cracked up and the put down, the crossed off and the ripped off, the crying out and the run down. Jesus came for the dropped out and the run over, the edged out and the shrugged off, the shut in, the flamed out, the shut out, the smashed up. Jesus came for the have-nots and the squeezed outs and the held back and the stacked against. Jesus came for the hungover and the strung out and the knocked down and the kicked around and the torn up and thrown away, the left out, loaded down, turned off and used up. Jesus came for the looked over, the lorded over, the walked over and the washed out, for the led astray, the laid off, the leaned on, the let down. He came for the messed up, the mixed up, the passed over, the picked on, the pinned down. Jesus came for the wiped out and the written off. Jesus came for me. Jesus came for you. God has never made a person he doesn't love. God has never made a person he doesn't have a purpose for. God has never made a person that he doesn't want to know him. And Satan's going to do everything he can to keep you from establishing that relationship because he hates you. If you are that person, we want you here at Saddleback. Group number two. Many of you, and I mean many of you, are struggling with your thoughts. And actually, your thoughts torture you. And you don't tell anybody about it, but it bothers you. And your thoughts torture you with depression, or your thoughts torture you with anxiety, or your thoughts torture you with self-loathing or shame. Some of you are tortured with blame and resentment, and some of you are tortured with fear and worry, and some of you are tortured with compulsions and attractions and addictions, and some of you are tortured with anger. And some of you just feel out of place. I'm the odd person out. I don't fit. I'm not in the in crowd. I'm just on the edge. I just feel like the square in a round world. And you have these thoughts and you can't get them out of your mind. And you can't make your mind mind. Let me just say this to you, somebody who loves you. You're not going crazy. But you do need help with your thought life. Second thing I want to say to you is this: you're not alone. With 3,000 people in this room here tonight, if this is average, on average in America, 600 of you are struggling with some kind of mental illness. 600. 60 million Americans struggle with some kind of mental illness, 400 million worldwide. That would be larger than the United States if it were a nation. And I want to just say this. You may have a chemical imbalance in your body that messes with your mind, but your chemistry is not your character, and your illness is not your identity. And God's grace doesn't just cover our genetics, our genes and genetics. It covers our guilt and everything else. And God's mercy doesn't just cover the things we do wrong. It covers our DNA. And we want you here at Saddleback Church. And it is not a sin to be sick. And there's no shame in taking meds. There's no shame in seeing a psychiatrist. If my back is broken, I go to a back doctor. If my heart doesn't work right, I go to a heart doctor. If my kidney stops working, I go to a kidney doctor. If my brain isn't functioning right, I go to a brain doctor. There's no shame in that. Why is it that any other organ in your body cannot work and there's no stigma attached to it? If my spleen stops working, there's no shame. If my pancreas stops working, if I have diabetes, there's no shame, there's no stigma on that. But if my brain stops working, why am I supposed to keep quiet and not talk about it and be ashamed of it? That's just wrong. 10 years ago, God called Kay and then called me and then called many of you at Saddleback to remove the stigma of HIV and AIDS. It's not a sin to be sick. And now, 10 years later, God is calling us as a church to remove the stigma of mental illness. Third group I want to talk to. Those of you who are in families and you have a family member, like the Warren family did, who is seriously mentally ill. Maybe it's your dad, maybe it's your mom, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, a child. We want you in Saddleback Church. This is your church. And we will support you and we will help you and we will work on the pain you're going through together. You should not suffer in silence. We are here to help your family, but you've got to speak up and you've got to let us know about the pain. And as I said, we want to remove that stigma together. Then finally, I want to just say this to all of you who are part of our Saddleback Church family and those of you at all of our campuses. You better buckle up because we're moving into hyperdrive because I'm back.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and you're listening to our series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. If you or someone you know needs some powerful biblical encouragement, then let us tell you about the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal. This full-color, vegan leather-covered guided experience is perfect to put a boost in your quiet time. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. However hopeful you are or not, this guided experience, which you can go through at your own pace, will bring you closer to God and renew your spirit. If you're ready to uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and also learn how you can maintain and bolster your hope, the Journey to Hope Guided Experience Journal is perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so act now. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Today, I want to talk to you about something that will supercharge your spiritual growth. It's called a small group. Let me encourage you to get involved with a small group of friends that meets weekly. Nobody has a complete perspective on life. That's why we need each other. Every one of us has blinders on. If you get into a small group, the people in your group can help you see things in your life that you can't see. We encourage each other. We hold each other accountable. We pray for each other. We love each other. I want you to know that in the difficult times I've gone through in my life, I wouldn't have made it through those times without my small group. So get in a small group and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.